This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Amen. Mark, you blessed us with the offering, so I decided I will do the same this morning. I'm going to give a tithe on my sermon. That means there's 5 minutes that I'm not going to talk, and I'm going to give it to someone that I look up to. Pastor John Piper, once again, I'm going to show you just now a video clip of something. Over the weeks, and especially, I don't know, if, well, probably there's a good reason. In the past week, I had one or two people speaking to me and saying, but help us a little bit practically to how do we read our Bible? Sometimes I battle and I don't understand, and what resources do I use and this and that. So my first answer usually is come and do Bible school. And they say, yeah, next year we will all start. We know we're going to have a massive intake next year. Professor Lionel Howells will help us there. So nevertheless, but I'm going to share a little bit on that this morning. But I'm also, so I have made that mistake because I'm passionate about the Word. Vanner, who else is passionate about the Word? So I made that mistake and preached on, there's 66 books in the Bible written over 1,500 years and just giving all that information, and then there's no transformation, just information. I love the Word and I love to talk a little bit about that. But it should, I believe, and I honestly say that, I just felt early in the week when I prayed about the message, you know, God just showed me this picture, this very straightforward little picture of a steam engine, the old time, you know, the steam engines. And, you know, you were, what's it, charcoal? Not charcoal, no, it's not Namibian charcoal, steenkool, what helped me there? Coal, thanks, that's the word I'm looking for. You know, you had to feed the fire. It wasn't the fire that made the engine go, it was the coal that you know, the more you feed it the fire, the more energy there was. All the engineers can help me there. But eventually it builds up steam and that goes into motion. And when we talk about the Word of God, I believe, you know, we need to dig deep. We need to not just read our Bibles devotionally, you should do that as well, but we also need to study, we need to work, and there's so many diamonds. So if you will, yeah, it's important that we do that part as well, that we do both, that we read and that we study. I believe we are so privileged today, you know, 600 years after Jesus Christ were born and died, you know, the Bible were only translated in about 8 languages. Afrikaans, English, I'm not sure if it was one of those at that stage, or Shivambu. All of us only got our Bibles a little bit later. But you know, people used to work hard a day, and when they came to home at night, could they? I'm talking Middle Ages now, you know, and the Middle Ages was a long time, the Dark Ages. Could people just switch on a light and there was electricity? Could people study at night? How many people could actually read? The Bible isn't so easy to read for people who can just read a sentence or two. The Bible is solid food. How many of you use glasses or contact lenses? 50% of the church. Before, I think the 1400s, when we got glasses, you were 40, 45, and you battled to read. What did you do? Listen to a sermon on YouTube? Nope, you couldn't. So, just in short, we are very privileged. We've got light, we've got electricity at nighttime. We can listen to recorded sermons on DVDs and CDs on YouTube and iPods and so many things. We've got glasses, and we've got the privilege to study God's Word. I want to read a quote to you from the International Bible Society, just to as a little bit of an introduction. And it says, "Today we are pretty casual about the great treasure so readily available to us. We do well to stop for a moment to realize that we can actually hold in our hands the precious revelation of God Himself. It costs us less than an hour's wage rather than a year's salary, as it once did. The temptation now is treat this ancient word casually as well. But from this ink and paper springs the ageless gospel of hope for this life and the life to come. It is our priceless heritage." You know, and you know, Bibles were to be massive. You know, people had to, for those who were able to work and save some money, it cost a lot. I'm talking 600 years ago now, not after the printing press. It enabled us, Gutenberg believe, you know, it was so much easier to print the Bible, etc. But sometimes, you know, just as with our kids, you know, only when a toy gets broken or we take it away, we really appreciate what we have. And I'm not sure what will happen in my lifetime, in your lifetime, in our children's lifetime with the Word of God. I'll end with, we all know that, you know, persecution is not just on the Christians, but on the Word of God as well. But nevertheless, I'm going to start this morning, and I'm going to, as I said, I'm going to tithe. Thank you, Mark, for helping me, keeping me accountable to be a biblical Christian. And I want to show you, I use his name a lot. I've been reading and his articles, and Pastor John Piper, I believe he pastored for more than, I think, 33 years at church, and he's a great, not only a theologian, he's a scholar, wrote more than 50 books, and you know, if they say it, we can judge a tree by its fruit, I believe the fruit is amazing, the fruit is beautiful. So this isn't the only way. I believe there aren't no step one, two, threes when we do our Bible study. I believe there's so much more, but for those who have asked, they were, I think the second service, you guys know how to read. It was the Afrikaans guys who had the questions, but nevertheless, it's for free. I will show you just a 5-minute clip, and hopefully it will inspire us a little bit. It will help us a little bit in terms of our Bible reading. So Mbasa, if you can help us, then we're just going to quickly watch that clip.
If you want to read the Bible supernaturally, what do you do? Because I'm not in control of the supernatural. I'm just so natural. What do I actually do? And that's really the way the Christian life is set up in the Bible. I am crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. So I'm dead, and yet I'm alive. I'm living, and yet I'm not living. He's living. That's the very nature of the Christian life. So when it comes to Bible reading, what do we do? Which is the same as how do we live the Christian life in general? And I have hit upon in my life an acronym, APTAT. I call it APTAT, and it governs how I preach, it governs how I approach my wife if we're having a difficult conversation, and it governs how I come to the Bible in order to, in my natural self, indwelt by the supernatural Holy Spirit, read the Bible supernaturally. So let me walk through it quickly with you. APTAT. A, when I come to the Bible, I admit, A is admit, that I can do nothing on my own, which is a humble posture, because humility, it says the Lord teaches the humble his way. So if you want to be taught God's way in the Bible, you can't come with self-reliance and pride. You have to come humbly. Jonathan Edwards said, pride is a great obstacle to the entrance of spiritual light into the soul. So that's the first one. We come humbly and we just say it out loud. Lord, I admit I can't do anything without you. A-P. Then we pray. We pray earnestly. And I've developed an acronym within an acronym. You say, why does John Piper use these acronyms? Well, picture this. You're sitting on a couch early in the morning. You flop the Bible open in your lap or gotten your iPad out to read your Bible, and you want it to be a supernatural encounter, and you want to pray. What are you going to say? Well, my mind is often just blank. Of course, I can get out the word help, but that starts to sound repetitive. And so I've developed I-O-U-S. So here's how I pray, and I use different words different times, but I incline my heart. So this is what I'm praying with the Bible in my lap. I'm praying, incline my heart to your testimonies and not to getting gain. Psalm 119, verse 36. I-O, open my eyes that I may behold wonderful things out of your word. Psalm 119, verse 18. So incline me, open me. You unite my heart to fear your name. My heart is so scattered, it's so fragmented and distracted. Get my heart together here right now over this word. Psalm 86:11. I-O-U-S. satisfy me in the morning with your steadfast love. Lord, if you don't show up here, I'm going to read and I won't feel anything. I won't be satisfied with you. I'll be worried about all kinds of other things. So satisfy me in the morning, Psalm 90, verse 14. So that's how I pray over the word, that God would show up and help me to read with supernatural power. So A, admit, P, pray, and then T, trust. And right here is where many people make a shipwreck out of my process, because they don't have particular promises in view. A lot of people say, okay, I'm going to live by faith. I'm going to read the Bible by faith. And then there's no promise to believe in their head. So they just have a general vague notion. Well, God is good. God will help me. And that's okay. That's fine. But oh, how better it is if we have a specific promise about Bible reading or about something that's related to Bible reading that we can actually believe. Like it says in James, if any of you lacks wisdom, and that's what I want. I'm reading my Bible. I want to know how to treat my kids and how to treat my wife and how to relate to my colleagues and how to function in the neighborhood. I need wisdom, Lord, from your word so that I see you and your ways as beautiful. Let any of you who lacks wisdom ask, because God gives generously and doesn't reproach. Now, there's a promise you can take hold of and believe. And there's so many more. So A, P, T for trust, a specific promise. And then A, go ahead, read in that faith, in that prayer, in that humble admission that we can't do anything. And when you're done reading, acting, thank God. APTAT. Thank God for what he's shown you, and move out into your life with whatever he's given you in that hour.
I trust it helped me. I believe it is some good advice, something that you can use. You can go and Google it. Desiring God is John Piper's website. And I've got no idea why he says, you know, Mbasa, you can just go to that slide with the, I just wrote it down there, admit, pray, trust, act, thanks. He said it governs high preaching and the way when he needs to approach his wife with a difficult conversation. I'm not sure what he means by that. Maybe admit it, you can do nothing. Anyway, we're not going to go into that that story today. That was supposed to be funny. admit that you do nothing. I like what he said there. But I believe it's good advice. I believe this. It's not a fixed little step 1, 2, 3. I don't think that's the only way. There's many ways to do Bible study. But maybe for one of two of us, it will give us a little bit of direction just to how do we approach our own Bible study. But you know what? As I said, the word mustn't just inform us, it transforms us. And I'm saying it with a lot of respect, you know, but you know what is beautiful that just came to my heart and to my mind as I watched this clip? And I say it with respect to an older man. But did you see how this older man's face just came alive? How he almost just, he could go on for hours. He wasn't talking out of a place of trying to entertain people or being funny or making jokes or anything. It's his heart. It's his passion. You know, we can ask each other sometimes about our hobbies. And if you are passionate about something, you will bubble. You will talk about it. You will share about it. But as you see how, and I say it once again, I have to say it with respect, how that face just, that you feel the warmth, just how he starts to talk about something that's alive to him. It's not just dead theology. It's something he believes. It's something that has moved him. I believe a biblical scholar like himself has digged so deep, understanding so much more. I'm looking forward to my next 30 years of being a pastor and just digging and digging and understanding more. Because God, his riches are endless. The more we understand, I mean, we can study about the word and about praise and discipleship and prayer and worship. There's so many aspects, parenting and etc. There are so many things that are really precious to us that we can study. Now, the thing is, if the word of God, let's I'm not going to play another clip, otherwise we're not going to get finished today. But if I were to play you a song, let's say in Italian, I'm not sure if anyone can do speak Italian or understand it, but if I were to play you a five-minute song, say in Italian, and I were to ask the audience this morning, what does it mean? What is it saying? Then you would have been, obviously, if you understood Italian, you could tell us what's the meaning of it. But for the most Namibians who don't speak Italian, we would have just heard the music and say, well, I like it, I don't like it, something like that. But if you understood Italian, it would open up to you. It would have meaning. You could say it's a guy who's singing about the countryside or about his wife or love, or maybe it's worship music, whatever the case might be. So if we think about the Word of God, if we say about the Word of God, and we talk about understanding, I just want to lay a very quick foundation, and I'm just going to come back to the Italian song just now. I just want to quickly go to John chapter 3, verse 5, verse that you all know very well. I'm going to read it from the Amplified Bible. And it says, Jesus answered him, I assure you and most solemnly say to you, unless a person is born again, and then between brackets, reborn from above, spiritually transformed, renewed, sanctified, he cannot ever see and experience the kingdom of God. Okay? This is the words of Jesus, and he's basically saying, if you don't came to a place of salvation, being renewed, being born again, you cannot ever see and experience the things of God. I believe it's a big truth. I had a friend, Wijnand Viljoen. We used to be neighbors when we were students. We lived next door to each other, and he came about 6 months before me. He gave his life to the Lord. We were born again, baptized, spirit-filled. And about 6 months later, I gave my life to the Lord, and we really became good friends. And, you know, at night when we were actually supposed to study, Wijnand usually came to us and was drink a cup of tea, you know. And we talked about the things of God. And I remember one conversation that we had so many times as since or after we came into the kingdom of God, how things opened up to us. How when we started to read our Bibles, we saw stuff that we never saw before. We saw stuff about salvation, about the Holy Spirit. We saw stuff about baptism, etc., etc. There's so many things that open up to us after we got born again. We were both coming from Christian homes where we read our Bibles, but it didn't mean that much to us. After we were born again, it started to open us up to us, and we were talking about the meaning of Scripture, and we were so excited to talk about God's Word. Okay? But before that, we were a little bit blind. It was almost like listening to that Italian song and saying, oh, it's good music. I can certainly hear it. I can say these words, but I don't understand the meaning. And here Jesus says something foundational. And hear my heart when I preach on this specific aspect this morning. I don't want to exclude. I would rather want to include. If you are here this morning, maybe if you're visiting here, I don't want to draw a line and say, you're a Christian, you're not. It should rather move us to evangelism and say, I want everyone to come to the knowledge of the truth. I want everyone to be able to hear God, to understand God. There was a man in Scripture who understood this thing very well, the Apostle Paul. He was a very well-read man. He knew the Old Testament, of course. He knew it very well. He could read it in the written language, etc. And Paul was a learned man, but he was a Pharisee. And we know the conversations Jesus had with the Pharisees, they were blind. They didn't understand and saw the kingdom things the way Jesus did. Okay? They were angry at him for various reasons. But there on the Damascus Road, when Paul received Jesus, when he had that massive encounter with Christ, and the eyes of his heart opened up, there was a new Paul. Paul got, John chapter 3, verse 5, Paul got saved, Paul got born again, and after that, well, he got baptized, spirit-filled, etc., and something new opened up to him. Just imagine, because sometimes we read the things and we can't see the picture. Got this DVD set at home, AD, that just goes about the story of the gospel, etc. Just imagine if you were the Christian church, and you are the Christian church, by the way, amen to that, and you are really persecuted by a guy like Paul, and here on the next Sunday, Paul comes to church, and everyone hardloop for a hookie, or who's the biggest, strongest guy in the church, and we all want to stand behind him because we're so afraid of Paul, and Paul's like, no, relax, I'm one of you now, huh? One of us, you putting us in chains, taking us to the church, to the jail, etc. Okay, that radical transformation in Paul's lives, in his life, and the way his eyes were opened. So Paul understood this thing of being blind and coming to sight, being born again, enlightened, that he could understand the things of the kingdom the way Jesus said it. Paul writes here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12 to 14, and I want to read it to you from the English Standard Version. It says, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. And we impart this in words, not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual." Verse 14, "The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned." So I believe there's a line going between what Jesus said in John chapter 3, going on to what Paul is writing about, not just from an academic perspective, but something he experienced. So, Tanya Hannelore helped us a little bit this morning. Ooh, now this must, I just want to go back and go to my study notes, which I'm going to preach on. I hope you've got all time. Can I have someone to help me for 1 second just to move this? I'll appreciate it. Thank you, Mark and Don. And all the rest, thank you, Don, all the others. I just want to move it a little bit closer, that I don't know if the light is maybe a little bit bad. Thank you so much, Don, I appreciate it. Hopefully you all can see. And since we are talking about the Word of God, I've give you a scholar's version of doing a little bit of Bible study, and now I'm going to just give you one or two little things from my own heart and from my own understanding regarding reading the Word of God. Mbasa, please go to my marketing of Kindle. I'm not an informant. I'm not a special agent. I'm not working for some American company or anything like that. But church, if there's something that I want to encourage you this morning, I'm not going to win any prizes for my photo, my graphic design there, but hear my heart this morning. I want to encourage you to obviously read Scripture. That's not rocket science. But I want to encourage you to dig a bit deeper. Now, here's the thing. There was the dark ages when anything regarding the Bible or anything next to that were really difficult to own, to have it as in your own. But today, we live in such a different age. The Bible Society said, you know, way back a few hundred years ago, a Bible cost your year's wages. Maybe today you can buy it, depending on what you do with an hour or a day's wages. But there's so many other resources that will help us. What is more important to a Christian? I believe if we read Scripture and we pray and we worship, we're quite good. If you can really make it to church and small group in intercession, you are great. Okay? Amen. I want to get you excited this morning. Okay? But I believe if we have extra resources to help us understand and dig deeper, if you've got more tools in your toolbox, you know, it will really help you so much. So if you buy, obviously we live in the bad side of the world regarding the US dollar. It doesn't go for us, it's against us. So unfortunately, when we buy books from Europe or from the United States, it really costs us. So if you buy a good Bible commentary, dictionary, exegetical commentary, anything like that, in a hard copy, it's going to cost you. But this morning, anyone heard about Kindle? Kindle, if you heard about laptops, iPads, iPhones, smartphones, these type of things, you can download a Kindle app on your smartphone. I promise you, I checked it with Marius from Geeks for You. He said yes, so that's a yes. Okay. Bottom line is just, I want to encourage you. You can go, and I've just checked a few prices, and I just want to quickly share them to you. Now, this is probably not the way most sermons are supposed to go, but it's a pastor's heart, so please hear me this morning as I do a little bit of marketing. Now I must just find my correct page. I've got so many of them this morning. Now it's lost. That's fine. It's not an issue. I just want to show you a few resources. You can usually buy, you know what? You can buy top resources, sometimes on special for $10. Okay? That's going to cost you 150 Namibian dollars. What's that? Two pizzas price or something like that? Okay? You can buy excellent resources for 20, 25, 30 US dollars. Stuff that will last your lifetime. I promise you, you're going to read them for a long time. There's a little book, How to Read the Bible for All It's Worth. I think every Christian should own one. Who of you have that book? No. How do you study your Bible? How do you know to understand Hebrew poetry or anything? I've once went to Lionel and he explained it all to me. But for the rest of you, please buy that book. That's on the left-hand side, Introduction to the New Testament, D.A. Carson, Douglas Moo. That's about 700, 800 pages. You're going to buy that book. I've got the price there, but it's probably about $20, $25, okay? On the right-hand side, the Canon of Scripture. I'm going to be honest with you because I asked people a few times. How, from the ancient, the first geschriften, now my words are missing a little bit. Do you know how bad the church know where the Bible came from? Yeah, God gave it to us. I mean, we can all get that one right. But there was a lot of stuff in between. When the first canon were closed, the second canon, all the LXX and these type of things. Now, you don't have to know all of that to be a disciple maker. Amen. I agree with that. But you know what? The world sometimes roll us over, bad language, but and challenge us. And they know more about some of the things regarding the church or church history than we as the church do. And that's a shame. I believe we should all go and study and dig a little bit just to understand where Scripture comes from. How did we get this precious book that we can buy from any shop without being killed or stoned in our own country? I believe to dig a little bit deeper, Basa, you can go to the last one, Heart Saying in the Bible. That's not the price. I checked it. I think I bought that thing for something like $5 on special. Okay, five, what's that? No, I'm blank. Church, that's not money. There's about 700 pages of hard sayings, stuff that is difficult to understand, that will open up. There's a lot of guys that give their lives to research and to study and to help me and you understand. Okay, so the point I want to make this morning, I'm not a Kindle agent, but you can sit in your living room. And if you've got that app or a smartphone or a tablet or something, with the push of a button, you can get a 700 to 1,000. You can, I know for certain, the Expository's Bible Commentary on the book from D.A. Carson on the book of Matthew. It's one of the top-rated, almost exegetical commentaries. I bought it for $9.99. That's not money. That's not money for what it does for us. Okay? So there's the danger that we as the church live on diluted juice, in a sense. You get real fruit juice, and then we've got an Aanmaak cool drink that we give to our kids, and they usually complain, it's the flow. Now it's not strong enough. They want it sooter. Okay? Sorry for my language this morning. I'm tired probably or something. But, you know, we shouldn't just live from a verse a day. We shouldn't just live because we've got so many websites. You can subscribe somewhere and it sends you a verse with a bit of interpretation and a story and the prayer is printed there for you. It's not wrong, okay? But I want to encourage you to dig deeper this morning. Please speak to me or to Yaku. We love the word. And I believe there's so much that we can really, at actually an affordable price, you can eat a loaf of brown bread and skip that pizza and you can buy yourself almost 1,000 pages of awesome theology on various topics. Lionel, you have to agree with me. Am I wrong? Hallelujah. Thanks for helping me there. Okay, otherwise the whole sermon would have been a mess. But you see, I just want to convey that. Now, I want to show you something about the verse about, and that's just what I do sometimes to help me when I read through Scripture. I het aan 'n lore hier, so I'm not going to draw all the circles. But go, when you read scripture, take a pen, print it out, have an old copy of a Bible, a pencil, whatever you want to use. I just underline the we, not, but, and we. Because I asked the guys in the Afrikaans night, it was totally a different exercise of because of language. Now we, who's we? Is it we? The one guy said, it's us, it's we. Okay? Sorry, I almost made a bad joke about we under the tree or something like that, but in Afrikaans, if you translate it, never mind, forgive me. Now we, who's that? Is it the church? Is it unbelievers? Who is Paul talking to? Okay, circle that word. Have received not, okay, not the spirit of the world, but. Now the not and the but and the that, those are important words when we study a portion of scripture to understand what it says. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but what? But the spirit who is from God, that we, that we, same again, might what? Understand the things freely given us by God. And we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but, once again, taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. And it just gets better. Then, so go and underline those things. Go and ask yourself. Go and study the context. Is it the book of Corinthians, Ephesians, Old Testament, New Testament? Is it written to a church? Is it prophetic? What is the background? You're not going to know it, and I'm not going to know it, because we weren't the first audience. Okay? We're going to have to go and read those things and understand it, and it just makes so much more sense. The natural person, this is what Paul says here, and it's part of the sermon. The natural person, what? Italian, that Italian example I used. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly. Now, if you don't understand, what is folly? I mean, is it like a pert folliekie, or what is a folly? I mean, you should go, then you go to your dictionary. You go to a Bible commentary. You go to something that can help you understand the language. Things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them, because they are what? Spiritually discerned. Okay? So that's what I usually do when I study a portion of scripture. I'm not going to read it for the sake of time, but go and read something like Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15 to 21. It's one sentence. There's not, I think only in verse 21 there's a full stop. And then you go and maybe you're a lot more clever than I am, but if you read what Paul is saying and praying there, man, it's a lot. It's a lot of deep theology. And if you read it many times, we go to ourselves and like, what did scripture just say to me? I completely don't understand. God, please protect me for today, and I protect my children, and amen, and we go to work. Go and take your pen. Go and slow down. Slow down. You can rather read scripture slower than rushing through it all in one year. Okay? Go slow down, take your pencil, get your resources out, and underline those things. As I said, this is just something that I love to do, is to the nots and the buts and the thats, and to see in terms of language, just break it down a little bit, study those words, and I believe it will open up so much more to us. Amen. Okay, let's continue. So, just that thing about the manual. What good is a manual of operation that can't be understood by ordinary people? And that is what I just referred to. If you've got a car and your car's manual is in Chinese and you want to know what oil to put in it or what tire pressure must be, but it's Chinese, how are you going to understand? So how is the Word of God going to win people over for the kingdom if Jesus said, and basically Paul as well, that the natural man cannot understand it, because we aren't born Christians, okay? None of us come out of our mother's wombs and we are spirit-filled, baptized believers. Now, somewhere we are confronted by the truth, by the Word of God, and then something beautiful happens. And that's why I said this morning, I rather want to preach this from a place of almost evangelism and say, I want everyone to understand God's truth. I want everyone to see the beauty and the riches of the glory of God. Okay, it's not just something we should keep a secret for us as a church or those of us who have got Bibles or can study or read the Bible, who've got resources. It's something God gave us this mandate. So we spoke about the things of God, the things of the Spirit of God, which natural people cannot discern. So hear my heart this morning. I'm not trying to be harsh or anything, but Scripture makes it clear. The natural person doesn't understand the things of God. You agree with me? That's what Jesus and that's what Paul said. Okay? So I've had conversations and arguments with people trying, and I was one of them myself way back, trying to convince them about kingdom things, kingdom principles, why we pray, why we fast, why we give, why we serve, why we go on missions. And it's like, what are you saying? We're not hearing each other. And this is the reason. This is the reason. But our hearts shouldn't be, this is the fence, there are you, here I am, poor you. No, that people who sin, people who do terrible things, our hearts should never be like, God cursed them. It should be, I want to pray for you, that you can see what I can see. Because Paul was such a prime example of someone whose eyes opened up for the kings of God. So, what is these things, the things of the Spirit of God, which Paul is writing about, that he wants this church, so I believe it's for every church, to see? We go one chapter back, and we study the context a little bit, and here's the answer. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, it says, the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are headed for destruction, but we who are being saved know it is the very power of God. So the heart of the Christian message is the word of the cross. It's the gospel. And unbelievers can many times hear that Italian music. Okay? You can hear it, but it doesn't mean you're going to understand it or respond it. So Paul says the natural man comes and he hears that message, and if his heart is hardened, he says it's folly, it's nonsense. I don't believe it. Okay? There's no God. There's no eternal life. There's no salvation. There's no judgment. That's it. That's what it says. But we know that's such an important message. When the Spirit of God is at work in our lives, then you will appraise things the way God does. We evaluate it, the things God does, because we've been making alive. We're alive with Jesus Christ. Then you will not regard the Word of God as folly, but as the most precious word imaginable. And that is where I believe there's a lot, when you're at that place, there's a lot of steam in our engines. That means druk, pressure is building up. Okay, that means something's got to move. Something's got to happen. This mouth needs to start talking. We need to be moved into prayer. When I wasn't a Christian, I sometimes looked at the things Christians did and I thought like, yes, is that the best you can do with your time? Going to intercession 5:30 in the morning? Man, I'm going to sleep. It's so much better. Do Bible school. Go to a course on a Friday night. Those things doesn't make sense to the world. But that's the first place I believe the Christian that has got a lot of steam in his tank wants to be at. Amen? That is what I see in the eyes and the heart and the everything of John Piper when I look at that clip. I see a man that has gone from death to life, where the things of God has become alive to him, and he wants to talk about it. That's why, like, when a person is in love, man, you just want to tell everyone about this amazing wife that you have, or lady that you met, or man, or husband-to-be, or whatever the case might be. Hey, I'm doing marriage prep with 4 people at this stage, and they just touch each other and love each other, and can't wait to marry them, that I can just get married and do biblical things. Anyway, at least you're awake. Thanks for everyone laughing. Paul is praying here in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 16. He says, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. Paul prays and he says, I want you to see more. The Holy Spirit that you already have, I pray that he will show you more. That you can see what Paul, is seeing. That you can be as excited as I am. That is why me, Carl, is trying to sell commentaries and books to you this morning. Buy a study Bible to dig deep, to get to know God through His Word even more. I want to read a quote to you as well. It's from Gordon Fee. Who knows him? He's a scholar as well, older man, written a lot of books, a spiritual writer, and he's a seminary professor. So many times we think of guys with thick glasses sitting there at the university being very academic. But I'm reading this book about the text and the spirit that he wrote, and I want to read you a quote there. And he said earlier on, it's in the winter and spring of 1994 when I was in grade 8. Some of you were married already. And he says there, I was as I worked through Paul's text with great care, I experienced an ongoing encounter with the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, an encounter which happened in two ways. On the one hand, as I exegeted the text so as to articulate its meaning for the sake of others in the church, I was often myself so overcome by the power of the word that I was brought to tears, to joy, to pray, or to praise. Just want to say amen to that. Someone sitting, studying the Greek or the Hebrew, those ancient scriptures, okay, working through them. I can't read biblical Greek, probably most of us can't. And he's translating, he's digging deep to give those pulls to me and to you, okay? And he says, as he's doing that, the power of the word just overcame him. It moved him to pray, to worship, to tears, probably to laughter, to whatever the case might be. And you see, that is something that I believe that's there's steam in that tank. There's something alive there. It's not just words. This isn't a popular sermon he's preaching. He's writing it in a very academic context, actually. But he's so true and so honest when he says the power of God's word moved him to pray and to prayer and what else did he say? Praise and joy and to tears. Probably as he understood the truth and have a heart for the lost, he might be moved to prayer or maybe to tears or thanks, being thankful for his own salvation or crying for those he loved who doesn't know the Lord Jesus yet. So I believe that's part of the crux, that's part of the richness of what's happening when we study God's Word. In Hebrews, there's a very famous scripture regarding the Word of God. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, it says, "For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and the discerning of, and the thoughts and intentions of the heart." But that first part, for the word of God is living and active. It's not dead and passive. It's living and active. Some translation says it's powerful. And that is what I wanted you to see also on John Piper's face. That is what I believe Gordon Fee is talking about when he says the power of the Word of God, as I'm reading it, as I'm studying it, it does something on the inside. Why? Because the Word isn't just a normal book. It's not just a dead document. It's alive. It's one of the biggest miracles there probably is. And here's the reason. John chapter 1, which I think is theologically a very challenging chapter, just because it deals with so many difficult things. The Word that was eternal, the Word was there in eternity. Basically, the Word that it became flesh. Jesus was 100% God, 100% man. He had no sin, and he lived among people. Yo, that's difficult stuff for our normal mindsets. And that's where that fine line maybe between the regenerated person, the believer and the unbeliever, might be where the unbeliever might say, but Jesus, the Word, eternal, living in eternity, coming in the form of a man, being born, Mary impregnated by the Holy Spirit. It's difficult stuff to understand. What do we need? We need faith. We need faith to be able to understand it. And we need the Holy Spirit to understand the text. Otherwise, You're going to read it and it's just going to pass you. But it's something precious. And here, you know that part probably well. It will be up on the board. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made for Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen His glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace, full of truth. That's challenging. I don't know if it's challenging to you, but it's challenging to me. I believe it in faith. But when we talk about eternal things and spiritual things, it's hard for the natural mind to understand. But the Holy Spirit helps us. He helps us. He comes next to us. It says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt. That word dwelt in Greek actually means to come and pitch your tent. Okay? That means Jesus was coming in a new way. God the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, was now closer than ever before in terms of the history between God and people. He was now closer. He came to walk among the people. And they didn't receive Him. They didn't understood Him. How many times they wanted to stone or to kill Jesus? Until some eyes were opened. So the reason why we can read the Word and it changes us, it's because it's alive and it's active. Jesus is the Word. When we read Scripture, we are having communion with Jesus. We are interacting with not just words, but something that's alive. Because when we speak words, healing can happen. Transformation can happen. The Word of God isn't there only to transform our, to inform our minds, but to transform our lives. Why can He do it? Because it's alive, it's active, it's powerful. It's a two-edged sword that will cut. Maybe you can read the Word in the morning and it can help you away to turn from sin or to come closer to God, whatever the case might be. I love Psalm 119, verse 105. Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. It's so beautiful how it says what God's Word. We walk in darkness. We don't know our own way, and we have the Word. It comes next to us, and it's a lamp. It shows us where to walk, talking about Christian living, and it's a light to our path, that we don't fall and stumble, that we don't get lost somewhere in this life. It guides us. It helps us. It is with us. So this morning, I hope that the clip of John Piper firstly helped a little bit, maybe give you a thought or two in terms of your own personal Bible study. Then secondly, I believe, and just to see how someone can, for a lifetime, be excited about the Word of God. I believe it's important that we as the church understand every one of us who are born again and Spirit-filled, who has got the Spirit of God inside of us. Paul says that we can understand the kingdom things. We can understand the truth. But Paul says the natural man who hasn't been regenerated will not be able to understand it. That's not a place for us to walk around and to say, well, I'm a Christian, I'm better than you. That's a place where we should be humble. That's a place where we should be full of prayer, moved to prayer, and say, God, I want my neighbor to see what I see. I want the person living next door to me, I want his light to be on 6 o'clock in the morning, spending time with the living Word, studying it, reading it, being transformed by it. We see that the Word is living and active. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. That Jesus is the Word. Okay, we see in the words of Gordon Fee, as we exegete, the way that we carefully, systematically study the Word to understand that original context, original intent, how it will probably move us sometimes to tears or to joy, to laughter maybe, I don't know, or to praise. Paul, Romans, the book of Romans end with a doxology, it says, and that's basically where we are moved to worship God, okay? Gordon Fee later on, he says he believes, and maybe I can find it and I can quickly read it to you. Oh, I find it. I'll read it to you. He says, a bit later on, he says, I begin with a single and passionate conviction that the proper aim of all true theology is doxology, that's praise. Theology that does not begin and end in worship is not biblical at all, but rather the product of Western philosophy. In the same way, I want to insist that the ultimate aim of all true exegesis is spirituality in some form or another. And then he goes on and explains. So when you read the Word of God, we can have an expectation that it will speak to us, that it will transform us. And that is my heart this morning for us as a church, just to say to you, I believe that picture that God has just early showed me early in the week about the steam engine. Okay, if there's no steam in your engine, that train's not going to move anywhere. The deeper you dig, the more time we spend in God's Word. Please go and maybe make a budget for yourself and maybe buy some sort of a resource, something that will help you a little bit with your Bible study. I want to encourage you. I believe what we sow, we will reap. Isn't it true? That it will help us. So that we will be a church that's digging deep and that we will have the godly fruits in our lives. That we can walk to each other and say, man, I've read this and this is how it's impacting my life. You know, there's so many things on hard scriptures. Scriptures that we sometimes battle to understand. I want to encourage you, go for them. Go for gold and try and figure out what is God saying to us. Because it was firstly the word to them, but it's also a word to us. It will transform our lives. And, you know, just to end off, we shouldn't be surprised. Derek Puffett and Derek and Beryl Puffett that were here last weekend, it was Monday night at our leaders' meeting, he was just telling us about this one court case in South Africa, and I hope I've got my facts right. And he said, you know, there was one of the accused persons, you know, he was just, let's say, relying on the Word of God in terms of his, in terms of his evidence. He was standing on the Word of God. And then the judge just said to him, but sir, you know, the Word of God is totally irrelevant today. Okay, you cannot stand on it. It's got no meaning. It's totally irrelevant. But we shouldn't be surprised. That is exactly what Paul was writing about, that the natural man will not be able to see. So if you are the guy standing there accused, it shouldn't be, and I'm saying it, you stupid judge, you don't understand a word. It should be a prayer. God, open his eyes that he can see what I see. Because God's law is above any human law. It's above any judge or about any constitution or anything like that. But we shouldn't be surprised if that is the reflection of the world. If we still want to get married and people say, but it's outdated or this or that. Yes, that's what the natural person will see. But it says the natural person doesn't accept the things of God. It's only through the Spirit of God that our eyes are opened. So what are you going to do today at 3 o'clock? Don, you're going to buy a book. You're going to do Bible study. Because it's going to feed you. Jesus in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, when Satan was challenging him, he said, you know, man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that comes forth from God. That's my translation. Okay? That's feeding us. We cannot afford to not spend good time in reading Scripture. And there's so much to help us. Amen. Let us pray together. Father God, we just thank you for your eternal word, Lord God. Father, we thank you today in Swakopmund, Lord God, that we can lift your word up high and say, it's the true word inspired by God. Thank you for your word, the written word, the spoken word, the Logos word and the Rhema word, Lord God, that we have it today, Lord. We thank you for your Spirit, Lord God, that comes and dwells inside of us. We thank you for the new birth, Lord God. Father, we believe that through faith, Lord God, faith in Jesus Christ, Lord God, by the grace you have given us, Lord God, that we are born again, Lord, that it's not through works or through our family surname or anything, Lord God. Thank you for the Holy Spirit and for baptism, Lord, that we are made new, Lord God, that you come and remove that core disposition in our hearts, that you take that heart of stone away, Lord, and that you give us hearts of flesh, Lord God. We thank you for that, Lord. Father, reading your word, Lord, it will move us to worship you because you're a living God. Thank you that we can have an expectation, Lord, that in our own strength, we will not be able to understand the word, but that your Holy Spirit will enlighten the eyes of our hearts and give us understanding of the riches of God and Jesus Christ, of the Trinity. We thank you for that, Lord God. Father, we've got an expectation, and Father, I pray, Lord, that we will be a Bible reading, studying church, Lord God, that your word will be on our lips, that it will be a light on our path, Lord God, that it will lead us and guide us in our decision making, that it will show us, Lord God, sometimes even in a harsh way, where we are, what we believe, where we stand, Lord God. Father, we pray this morning for our town, Lord. We pray for our nation, Lord. We pray for every person who doesn't have the Word of God, who doesn't read the Word of God, who says that it's folly. We pray, Lord, for every one of them to come to the knowledge of the truth, Lord God. For hearts to be opened up, for eyes like the Apostle Paul to open up, to see the Word, to love the Word, to read the Word. I pray, Lord, that we will, for many of us, that we will just all over again, Lord, fall in love with your Word. That it is, that we will have, that we can't wait, Lord, to somewhere in the day, Lord, to spend time reading and studying your Word. Thank you, Lord, that it will transform us into the image of Jesus Christ. We give all praise and glory to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.